Two things take place when a dark cloud forms over a political administration. First, the word gate is attached to that dark cloud. Second, the question, what did they know and when did they know it, is asked. And that's certainly true regarding Chris Christie and the George Washington Bridge scandal. Here with his insight about a governor that he's certainly an expert on is Gannett syndicated columnist, author of the books The Soprano State and Chris Christie, the inside story of his rise to power. Good morning, Bob Engel.
Hello there.
Well, let me give you a couple of websites first. APP.com to read Bob's stuff and thesopranostate.com to read about one of his books. But, you know, looking at your two books, Chris Christie and The Soprano State, are we getting to the point where what's going on with Christie right now would qualify for an updated version of The Soprano State?
Well, that question is asked more than you might think. Just today, I was asked that about would this be a separate one or would it just be an update to The Soprano State? And at this point, I really don't know because there's so much about this that we don't know. And that's what's really troubling about it. I think there are more questions than answers that we have at this point. But even if it was the most simplest of things, as some people think, that is trying to create headaches for a mayor who didn't endorse you, that's certainly Soprano State material.
The first thing that confused me about all this was that email exchange between Bridget Ann Kelly and David Wildstein. The email from Bridget, time for some traffic problems, Fort Lee, Wildstein responding, got it. Do we know if that was a start of a conversation or the middle of the movie? Because as the outsider looking in, that appears to me as a time for some traffic problems before Lee as a cue phrase that had been put in the bullpen for use at a later date because of the way Wildstein basically said, you know, quickly understood what that meant.
Well, you know, that's exactly how it struck me. If you sent me a notice, it's Bob, time for some traffic problems in, you know, Fort Lee, I would have written you back and said, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's the way that he just didn't do that. He just said, okay, got it, does seem to indicate there had been some discussion about this prior to that email exchange.
Although with the thousands of pages so far that have been released from the state assembly investigation, which that's ongoing, by the way, nothing to further that conversation in the backstory has come about. The concept, or I guess the implied claim, that something went on under Chris Christie's administration that he was not aware of. When I was hearing him state that, first thing I thought was the federal education funding application and Brett Schindler.
Yes, that is kind of similar, isn't it? Because what happened was Schindler's group actually screwed it up, and they admitted they screwed it up. And they said they screwed it up. And when Schindler was fired, the governor said that they had lied about it. Well, Schindler could deal with screwing it up. He admitted that. What he couldn't deal with was being called a liar. And so he went back and proved that he, in fact, was not a liar, that he had told the truth and he had informed them. I was thinking about that as well. That there was also, wasn't there a situation where the veracity of the Speaker of the Assembly was held up to scrutiny?
I remember it that being so. I can't remember why that was being so. I think because she wasn't playing on the same playground that State Senate President Sweeney, who, of course, you know, is tight with the governor.
Right.
She wasn't walking in step with Sweeney, and I think that's why some of the hung an anvil over her head.
Yeah, it seemed like to me there was something like that, but, I mean, she was mighty unhappy about that as well. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think I would probably be the same way if I were in their shoes. If I screw up, we all screw up once in a while. That's life. That's human. That happens. But I don't want, if I'm telling the truth and I'm being honest, I don't want somebody to question my honesty. That would make me madder than anything.
Exactly. We're talking with Bob Engel, syndicated columnist for Gannett, author of the books The Soprano State and Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power, APP.com, is where you can read Bob's work. Learn more about his book, The Soprano State, at thesopranostate.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. As a secondary story with all this, although it hasn't really gotten much attention, how much of a fair word would be disappointment has Bill Baroni shown himself to be?
Well, you know, for full disclosure, speaking of honesty, I have known Bill for years because he was in the legislature. And I have always liked him. We've always gotten along very well. And for me personally, just speaking as Bob Engel, the guy, not, you know, Bob Engel, the journalist author, I'm very disappointed that he would have his hands on some of this way. I just, you know, there's some sleazy politicians. The Soprano State is a book that's full of them. And I just didn't put Bill Baroni in that category.
You know what? I mentioned in the introduction about the application of the word gate to any, you know, the scandal du jour, of course, Watergate being the initiation of this concept.
Right.
And when you look at the Christie versus Bruno election, what would the difference have been whether or not the mayor of Fort Lee endorsed or not endorsed Chris Christie? You know, sort of like, did Nixon really have to go after anything to do with McGovern because he was on the path to an easy win? Similar situation with Christie over Bruno.
Well, that's exactly what a lot of people are saying. There was no question that in anybody's mind that Chris Christie was going to win, and he was going to win overwhelmingly. There was no question about that. Barbara Buono just wasn't that well known, and Christie was popular after his first term. So nobody thought it was going to be any different than it was. And to answer your question directly, I don't think it made one bit of difference whether he endorsed or not.
Does this demonstrate, I mean, let's just assume Christie's being upfront about this, he did not know, but for someone like Bridget and Kelly to pull the trigger on what she did with that email time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee, does this call into question the climate that's been created in the Christie administration where Bridget would think, hey, boss, I did something good for you today, right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I just had this conversation with Barbara Buono. Ran across her at NBC, and one of the things that we've all been talking to each other about is this is so incredibly stupid. Why would anybody with a lick of sense be involved in anything like this? And, you know, as right now, we don't know who everybody involved in it is, and we need to say that up front. You know, we're going to be finding out a lot in the coming weeks and months, I think. But it doesn't make any sense unless you consider the arrogance factor. Now, I'll give you another example of another governor we all know and love, Jim McGreevy.
Right.
Jim McGreevy was a smart man. I liked him personally a lot. I think he really cared about people. But whatever made him think that he could put a guy in charge of security, Homeland Security for New Jersey, who couldn't even get a security clearance? What made him think that?
Though ironic association, too, people forget that the MWW group, which was the winning bidder for the Stronger Than the Storm campaign, that's also where McGreevy's boy toy got dumped for a couple of weeks for a job after he got tossed out of the state job.
That's correct. MWW is a very politically active campaign. My colleague Bob Jordan at the Asbury Park Press just did a couple of stories about that whole campaign. In fact, his story is all the way back, I think, to May, when we were first trying to find out how this came about. The MWW people were more expensive than the other people, but they were also more politically active. And there is a question about how using the governor in the commercials came up. There's nothing in the written proposal that says that. But there was a meeting where they had an oral discussion of it, and we're told that that's when they first mentioned they'd like to use the governor. And we have tried to get the minutes of that meeting under the public information law, and so far we haven't been able to get it.
Now, with that in mind, too, as we wrap up things here with Bob Engel, author of The Soprano State, Christie biography, and Gannett syndicated columnist here on Issues and Ideas. When you look at the two investigations, the GWB scandal and the federal investigation into spending of Sandy relief money, which is the bigger dark cloud for Christie to be concerned about right now?
Well, if you recall, we've been dealing with this since the campaign started, the commercial, that is. Back when it first started, we started looking into it. In fact, it was August that we started asking for specific the freedom of information law that we have in New Jersey. And we only got that in December. So they dragged their feet a long time before they gave it to us. And then they redacted some of what we think is important information. However, the whole thing about the governor being in the commercials and why it was important to have him in there, actually, you can make a good argument about that, that the governor was the guy who was on TV every day saying that, you know, we've been devastated here, we need help. He would be a good guy to say, we're fixed it up, you can come on back now, and that sort of thing. So I think that's a good argument to be made. I guess the harder argument to be made is did he need to dominate all of them? Or could it have been a combination of people with high profiles in New Jersey? That's what has to be answered. I think the national media right now is more concerned with this whole thing about the commercial, because I think, frankly, they're having trouble understanding the bridge. The bridge thing, if you know the players, makes sense to us, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to somebody who isn't from this part of the country. It's easier to put your hands around putting yourself in a commercial. But during the election year, that was the other thing. We had other governors be in commercials before, but I couldn't find that any of them had ever run when the governor was actually running for re-election, and that makes a difference. Apparently, the government the federal government did give some kind of approval to go ahead with us. And after Bob Jordan's stories, they're going to go back and take a second look at it. I don't know. My gut feeling is, and that's not worth very much, but is maybe in the end it won't amount to as much as what could come out of the other one.
He is syndicated columnist for Gannett, author of the books The Soprano State and Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power, app.com, to read his print work and to learn more about The Soprano State and the cast of characters that is New Jersey politics. TheSopranoState.com is a place to do that. Bob Engel, always a pleasure, always a treat. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Good talking to you, sir. Have a good day.